the book of Genesis, chapter number 40 and verse number 7. The book of Genesis, chapter 40, verse 7. We say again, we appreciate this meeting, the church. We appreciate the opportunity to have a part in it and share the pulpit with Brother McDonald. He's always been a great inspiration to so many of us. And we appreciate all these brethren that's preached. Genesis chapter 40 and verse number 7. And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of his Lord's house, saying, Wherefore look ye so sadly today? And they said unto him, We have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. Joseph said unto them, Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you. Verse 7 again, and he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of his Lord's house, saying, Wherefore look ye so sadly today? I want to preach for a few minutes, if the Lord would help us, on a way out of prison. A way out of prison. When I looked into this scripture a few months ago and the Lord began to deal with my heart about it, I came across this scripture when Joseph here in prison walks in and he finds the chief butler and the chief baker, and he can tell by their countenance that something's not right. Do you know, you wonder why sometimes the pastor will come by, and maybe when he's shaking your hand or hugging your neck, and he'll say, Is everything all right with you? You know, a lot of times it's discernible, and you can see when people's under a load. You can tell when people's facing, whether it be problems, and you may not know exactly what it is, but you can tell by the way they walk. Sometimes we'll go home, or I can even call my mother on the phone, and she'll say, How are you? And I'll say, Well, I'm fine. You know, I'll try to talk just as good as I can, and she'll say, What's wrong? Amen. I'll say, Nothing's wrong, Mama. And she said, Oh, yeah, I can tell by the tone of your voice something's wrong. Amen. And sometimes your wife or your husband, they can just tell. They'll say, You had a hard day, hadn't you? Amen. Or they can just tell by the way. And so here Joseph enters into this prison house, and he sees these two men. And when I read this, it just kind of, it was unusual to me that he would look at these two prisoners and ask them, Why are you so sad today? What's wrong with you? Why are you sad today? I want you to understand the position that Joseph is in. If anybody had a, so to speak, reason or excuse to be sad, or to be upset, or to be down, Joseph could write a book about his experiences. But yet, in the middle of this prison house, instead of looking upon all of the hurt, and looking at all of the deception and all of the pain, amen, he begins to look at others and say, What can I do to help somebody else? I want to preach on a way out of prison. Amen. If you really want to get out of that prison house that you're in, you say, I feel like my spirit is bound. When Brother Craig was preaching, when Brother Lynn was giving that invitation yesterday, when Brother Rusty was pleading, I really wanted to pray. In my heart, I really wanted that help. But it seems like I'm just so bound that I'm in such a prison house that I am not able to make myself get up and go down the aisle and kneel in the altar and lift my hands and say, I need help. Amen. Oh, but can I tell you that there is a way out of prison? Amen. For you. Oh, I can see Joseph as he, amen, is forsaken, you know, the dreamer they called him, and he tells his brothers about his dreams, that they'll bow down and worship him in essence. And so they take him and they throw him in that pit, and they take that coat of many colors and they rip it up and put blood all over it.
and then they sell him into slavery. Put yourself in his position. You talking about being down and facing problems and difficulties. His own brothers, his own family turned against him and did not stand with him. But what did Joseph do? Did he have a pity party? Did he say, poor old pitiful me, look how everybody's treated me? No, but when he got into the house of Potiphar, he began to make himself diligent in the work that he had. So much so, until finally, amen, Potiphar put in his hands almost everything that he possessed. Amen, he began to be faithful. Amen, work his way up, so to speak. And then, all of a sudden, another incident happens. And you know the story, how that Potiphar's wife tried to entice him to come in and to lay with her, but he refused. After she continued to vex him, and he continued to refuse, she even went so far as to set a trap. She went so far as to set up a situation, and Joseph literally left his coat, and he ran for his life, Brother Noah. Amen. And when he did, then she began to hold on to that coat, and begin to scream, and begin to make false accusations, and begin to say that he had come in and tried to force her. And Potiphar comes home. He could have put him to death. Amen. He could have executed him. But I feel like Potiphar knew that his wife was lying. I feel like he knew in his heart that Joseph was a righteous man and he would not do such a thing. I've never seen an hour, amen, like we have today, where we've got so many holiness talebearers. Amen. They'll get on the phone and they'll call all across the country and want to know, have you heard the latest? Have you heard who failed? Have you heard who's struggling? Have you heard who's left that church and come to this one and went over there? Come on, shout amen. Amen. Oh, it gets to be where, amen, somebody asked me, said, have you heard this? Amen. I say, no, I hadn't heard it. Amen. And so they'll go to filling me in on it. Amen. This one, that one, whatever it might be. And it's so bad because when Joseph is innocent, Joseph did not do a thing. But how many people had heard the tale on Joseph? I remember Brother David Sims years ago. Brother David Sims, one of the greatest men ever walked in shoe leather. I love Brother David Sims. Amen. I remember years ago, amen, there was a rumor got out that Brother David, that there was sin in his life. Amen. You know, I didn't tell nobody when I heard it. I called Brother David and I said, Brother David Sims, amen, so-and-so said this, amen, and there wasn't anything to it, amen, but it went for weeks and months across the wholeness movement. What a sad state that we're in, and when we take more delight in hearing about bad than we do good. Oh, help me while I preach. I'm just inserting this a little bit here. Hey, man, I preached revival for Brother Junior Morgan 2 or 3 years ago. Brother Morgan, we went, what, five and a half weeks? Hey, man, I don't know how many got saved, how many got the Holy Ghost. Hey, man, it was a great meeting. Hey, man, I left there and a few months went by and I was at a church and a brother started telling me about, you know, a preacher that had messed up and what had happened. Then he named another one. Then he said, I said, wait a minute. I said, did you hear about that 5-week revival I preached down at Brother Morgan's? Amen. He said, no, I didn't hear about it. You didn't hear about Jeremy getting saved, a backslid preacher, and he's still saved tonight preaching the gospel. You didn't hear about Paco, that little Mexican boy that doesn't know hardly any English, but yet conviction got so strong one night till he fell on his face and began to seek God. You didn't hear about that? And he said, no, I didn't hear about that. It's sad when we hear more about bad than we do good. And so, Joseph has been lied on. What are you going to do, preacher, when you've been lied on? What are you going to do, deacon, when you've been lied on? What are you going to do when they've told it and it ain't so? Hey, man, oh, it's time when you stand flat-footed. Amen, and you say, I'm going to serve God anyway. I'm not going to draw up in a cave. I'm not going to pull back. I'm not going to quit. But I'm going to get on the front line. I'm going to preach it high. I'm going to sing it down. it straight. Amen. You see, your problem, the reason you won't come to the altar. Oh. Amen. The reason you haven't responded to the pleading and conviction of the Holy Ghost is you say, so much has been said. So much has been said until if I go down to the altar, amen, they may think this about me, or they'll believe this, or I don't know who's for me and who's against me. It doesn't matter. God's for you. What you need to say is, I need help. I don't care what anybody says. When I first took the church there that I pastored for several years in Alabama, I told them when I first went there about the first service, I said, when I got up, I said, I am not Superman. Now, some of them thought I was, so I had to. I said, I'm not Superman. I said, if you cut me, I will bleed. If you talk mean to me, it will hurt my feelings. Come on, shout amen. And I said, there's going to be times when I'm going to be in battles and I'm going to need prayer and help just like you are. Amen. So a few, maybe a year or two, whatever goes by, amen. I mean, I'd been battling, I'd been fighting, and service rolled around maybe that Sunday morning. And I mean, I had looked through everything, dug up everything, and just didn't have nothing. You ever been there? Amen. Fighting the devil, fighting my mind. And they got through singing. I'm pushing the singing, you know. And hey, man, I get the special singers up. It usually always sings it down. And I request the song. They usually always get it to move on. Boy, it's dry. And so finally I go up to the pulpit and I open my Bible and I look out there, hey man, and tears just start flowing down my face. And I looked at them and I said, I can't preach this morning. I said, I am fighting the devil. And I just went right down and knelt down. And you know what? Half the congregation got up and walked out. No, they didn't. Hey man, all of a sudden I felt hands on me. I felt tears hit me on the back of the neck. I felt people shaking. Amen. In a little bit, amen, God came by and He brought me out of that place. Amen. When I come up, others have come to the altar. You know what they said? If my pastor needs help and will admit it, I need help. Amen. There's some of you, if you'd step out and get help, your children would get help. But you're trying to be so, amen, spiritual. And act like you're where you need to be. And your kids know you're backslid. They know you're carnal. They know you're a hypocrite. They know you're hiding sin. And then you want to tell them, pray through. But oh, when it's you that says, I'm making a move. Amen. What did Joseph do when he's lied on? He served God faithfully. They put him in the prison. And it wasn't too long till the warden said, hey man, here's the keys. Hey man, sir, where's my keys? Oh, here's the keys. Hey man, I want you to take care of feeding these fellas. Hey man, I want you to keep them in good spirits. It seems like that every time you're around them, they're easier to control. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so, amen, they promote him up. And there he is in prison. He's been lied on. His family's turned against him. Amen. He's by himself, so to speak. And he walks in the prison house one day, and he looks at two men, and he says, why are you sad? Woo! Amen. I tell you, you may feel like you're facing problems and obstacles and you're in a prison house. But there is a way out this morning. You've got to get your eyes off poor old me. Get your eyes off the circumstance. Get your eyes off the past. Get your eyes off the hurt. Get your eyes off the lies. Get your eyes off all of that. Amen. And say, how can I help somebody else? Preacher, the best way to get out of it is preach your way out. Singer, the best way to get out is sing your way out. You say, I don't feel like singing. I remember Brother Joey Hyde years ago, amen, when I was just starting to evangelize. Amen. We was at Allentown one year. We'd been out maybe a year or two. And at first year struggling. Nobody hardly knows you. Amen. Getting a few doors here and there. Amen. And I remember Brother Joey preaching. Amen. About the songbirds in the North Pole. Amen. He said, when times get tough and you hadn't got nobody to sing to, amen, he said, jump up on, amen, the table in your fifth wheel and go to singing Rock of Ages, a cleft for me. Great God of heaven, I want to tell you, it's time for us to say, I want out of prison. You've got to find somebody that you can minister to. When you focus on yourself, it's going to get worse. But when you focus on somebody else, you'll lose sight of your problems, and God will start to help you to help somebody else. And so, here he is in prison, and he looks over at him, and he looks so sad. What's wrong with you fellas? We've had a dream, and we don't really know what it means. And he said, is not God the one who can give the interpretation of dreams? Tell me your dreams. Hey man, you know the story. They tell him the dreams. He gives them the interpretation 3 days later. And that was the key to both of these, I feel like. The first one spoke, and when he got through telling the dream, he said, in 3 days, you're going to be restored. Hey man, you're going to have the cup in your hand. You're going to be serving the king again. The next man heard it. He gave out his dream. He said, in 3 days, your head's going to be taken off your shoulders. That wasn't quite as good, was it? Amen. But the key to that is 3 days. Amen. You say, I want out of prison. I want deliverance. I want to get back where I used to be. I want the gifts operating in my life. How long has it been since you spoke in tongues as the Spirit gave utterance? How long has it been, amen, since God used you, amen, maybe to give out a message or interpret a message? How long has it been since the gifts of the Spirit has operated in your life? Amen. But oh, can I tell you, amen, that was already said in this meeting. Amen. I believe our pastor, Brother Noah, said earlier, he said, somebody is going to find help this week. They're going to get out of that place they've been in. They're going to find deliverance. I want to tell you, it's here for you right here this morning. Amen. You can say, Lord, I'm coming out. Amen. You may not happen right here today, but you can make that first move. You might hear heaven breathe on you and say, in 3 days, amen, victory will be here. In 3 days, deliverance will be here. In 3 days, you'll be restored. Amen. How can I help somebody when you get to a place where you're so bound up in prison? If you could begin to say, Lord, it used to be that I focused on others. I looked for a way to help somebody. I looked for a message to help somebody. I looked for a song. I didn't just get up and sing, but I prayed and I tried to get a song that would help somebody. Amen. But oh, when you get focused on yourself and you get locked up in that prison house, there's only one way out. Help me preach just a little bit. There's only one way out. There's a way out of prison. When Paul and Silas, over in Acts chapter 12 maybe, 16, when Paul and Silas were thrown in jail, what did they do? Amen. You say, I really want out of this prison house. Well, how are you going to get out of it? What's your escape plan? Amen. I preached down at the county jail one time on We Need a Jailbreak. Hallelujah. Yay. Hallelujah. Amen. What's your plan, I asked them. So what you going to do to get out of here? Amen. That's right. You're going to try to, one of them crawl, and right before that, one of them had escaped, and I used that in my text. I said, you know, there's one of them, he got up in the little library room they had, and he knocked the guard out and busted the window out, and he jumped down to the ground. But he didn't have no plan. He just wanted to get out. He jumped down, broke his leg. Hey, man, drug it up a little bit, and they finally picked him up and brought him back. Hey, man. What's your plan? Amen. You say, I really want to get out of this prison house. Well, if God was to give you liberty to get out, what's your plan? Are you going to go right back to where you've always been? Are you going to hold your hand down and say, lock me back up, put me back under that same yoke again?
Or do you have a plan? Lord, if you let me out of here, amen, I'll minister to somebody. I'll help somebody. I'll carry the gospel higher. I'll sing with all my heart. God, I'll do whatever you tell me to do. Just get me out of this prison house.
The reason God won't let some of you out is He knows you're just going to come right back. He's already let you out. You've already prayed at times and God helped you. And what did you do? You come right back to that same place. But I want to preach to you for just a few minutes longer. Then I want us to have a good prayer service. Can you say it? Brother Noah said, the cook said, you need to preach a little longer. I told him, I said, I can. Push comes to shove. I preached revival at one church. Hey, man, wasn't but about 30 of us. We started at 7, I think it was. They sung about 3 or 4 choir songs. Sung about 13 or 14 special songs. Testified about 9:30, they asked me to preach. Amen. You know, normally I preach about 30, 40 minutes. I preached an hour and a half that night. I stretched it out as long as I could. Come on, shout amen. Amen. I mean, I can't stretch it out. Amen. The next night, they sung 3 songs, put me in a pulpit. I preached 30 minutes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, shout amen. Amen. Oh, great God of heaven. Amen. What are you going to do? And God's wanting you to get out of that place. And you're wanting out of that place. Convictions already failed. The invitation's already been given. But you have not yet responded. What you need to do is make up your mind right now and say, I'm coming out. I'm not staying where I'm at. I'm tired of fighting the same battles and going through the same roller coaster. I'm wanting out of prison. I'm wanting out of prison. I got a book I'm reading right now on great escapes. About 40 or 50 stories. Amen. One man, amen, it was during the concentration camps and during World War II. Amen. Told about one man and his great escape. Amen. How that he worked for months. Amen. Stealing papers and forging names and taking clothes from the laundry and dyeing them with, amen, different colors that he would get. And I mean, he just made this elaborate plan to escape. And he worked and he worked. And finally one day, he was dressed just like a guard. Amen. Had on the hats, the badges. Had on the papers that he needed. And he just walked right out the door. Woo! I mean, some of them dug tunnels, and I like reading about them. And some of them, you know, they made homemade airplanes there in Germany and flew over the wall. And just different things. It's all interesting. But I tell you, one I like the best is a man who just walked right out the door. And they just waved at him as he went out. Amen. They just gave him permission to go. You're trying to dig a tunnel. Amen. All you need to do this morning is just walk right down that aisle and say, I'm a coming out. I don't need nothing else but God Almighty. I'm coming out of this place. I've been bound too long. I've been under bondage too long. I'm coming out of prison. I'm a coming out. Is there anybody in this house that right here you'd say, I'm coming out, preacher? Amen. I dare to say, if you start down that aisle, amen, the time you got to the front, you'd be feeling the power of God. Amen. The time your foot, amen, stepped in the center of that cross, amen, you'd be feeling something that you hadn't felt in a long time. But it's locked up to you. You can stay in that prison house. You can stay bound up. You can stay defeated. Or you can say, I'm a coming out, boys. I'm a coming out, pastor. I'm a coming out. I'm tired of prison. I'm tired of going to church and not getting anything out of it. I'm tired of where I'm at. Amen. Praise God. Let's worship the Lord, church. Worship the Lord. Amen. Somebody needs to obey the Lord right now. Amen. I said somebody needs to obey God right now. Not tomorrow, not tonight, but right now. Somebody needs to say, I'm ready to come out of my prison house. I'm ready for my deliverance. Let's seek the Lord. Amen. God bless him.
Amen. God, touch Brother Hill. Come on, that's right. Come on, sisters. Come on.